certainly glad that you're here this morning. I hope you've got your Bible with you and that you're prepared to use it as we study for just a few moments. The passage here in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 18 is a passage where David raises the question to the Cushite that has brought word back after Absalom's death. And as he brings back word, the question on King David's mind is the question, is the young man Absalom saved? In spite of all that Absalom had done, in spite of the fact that he had led a rebellion against David, Absalom was David's son. And he was still concerned about him and still concerned about his safety. In fact, in the last verse that was just read for us, you look back and you see David, in spite of all that had transpired, saying, I wished it had been me instead of him. I wished I had died in his place. Now, when we think about children today, young men and young women today, parents are concerned, no doubt, about the safety of their children. And they should be. We certainly are concerned many times about the physical safety of our children. When they're out and about and we don't know where they are, we're concerned that they're going to be back home safely at some point in time. They have to call and check if they're not there where they're supposed to be. But you know, as concerned as we are about our children's physical welfare, even more so, we need to be concerned about their spiritual well-being and their spiritual welfare. Now, at the congregation here at Northside, we have a number of our young people that are getting ready to go off to college and begin a new phase in their life. And I think there's little doubt, though I haven't asked, I think there's probably little doubt that parents, as well as friends, are concerned about their safety and their wellness. You know, as Christian parents, when children go off, one of the biggest concerns is, how are they going to do spiritually? Are they going to continue to be faithful to the Lord? Are they going to resist the temptations that are going to come their way as they begin this new time in their life? And so I want to think with you for a few moments this morning about that question that was raised. Is the young man safe? Is he well off? And think about that from a spiritual standpoint and some things that can help ensure not only our young people as they leave us, but other young people as they come that can help to ensure their spiritual well-being so that they'll be safe in a relationship to their Lord. As we begin to think about this question, is the young man safe? Let me say, first of all, that our young people will be safe spiritually if they can develop purpose of heart. By that I mean a resolve and a determination that they're going to do right no matter what comes. You know, Absalom had a heart that was set on rebellion. I'm not sure there's anything that David could have done that would have turned Absalom around and caused him to act differently than what he did. He had, if you go to the passage in 2 Samuel chapter 15, you just read about everything that Absalom plotted. Ultimately, his dad had to flee the city of Jerusalem. And I think in an act of great rebellion and defiance, when David leaves, Absalom goes into his concubines and he lays with them so that everybody can see. And really just saying, I'm the one that's in control now. I am the king. Everybody's going to answer to me now. He had a heart that was set on rebellion. That was his purpose. Well, we certainly don't want our hearts to be set on rebellion, but like young men in the Bible, we need to have a strong resolution. And what that means is we've got to make our heart right and secure and determine that we're going to do what's right. You know, doing what is right is ultimately a decision that's made. But it's a decision that needs to be made before times of temptation. It needs to be a decision that is made before the very heat of the battle with the devil. I think that's what we see in the Bible in men like Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible tells us about Daniel. By the way, Daniel in many ways is like our young college individuals. And what I mean by that is Daniel is a young man that for the first time is away from home. And mom and dad's not there anymore to tell them what to do. Now, he's a young teenage boy. Exactly how old he was, we don't know. It's probably somewhere between the ages of about 16 to about 19, somewhere in that period of time. He found himself in the midst of enemies. And
our young people will find themselves in the midst of individuals that don't hold to the principles that are found in God's Word. Daniel, in many ways, is such a wonderful example for young people as they begin a new phase in life. But you know, Daniel, as he's faced with the temptation to eat of the king's meat, the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's delicacies. Some translations just simply say, Daniel resolved. You know what that means? He made up his mind. I'm going to do what's right no matter what anybody else does. I'm going to do what's right. For our young people, I want them to understand that one of the keys to their spiritual safety is just determination. And it's determination that's not made when you get to Fayetteville or Temple Terrace or wherever it is you're going to college. It's a determination that begins long before that in purposing you're going to do what's right. I think sometimes we fail to understand how important it is to set our heart in the right direction. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and in verse 14. 2 Chronicles 12 and in verse 14. It says concerning King Rehoboam, and he did evil. You know why he did evil? Look what the Bible said. For he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. In other words, it began with where he put his heart, where he set his heart. In contrast to that, look at 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 19. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and in verse 19. This is David talking to Solomon and preparing him for the work of building the temple and the work of being king. And this is what David said. Now set your heart and your mind to seek the Lord your God. Arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God so that the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God may be brought into a house built for the name of the Lord. You know what David told his young man Solomon, his young son Solomon? He said, you put your heart in the right direction. You set your mind in that direction. And if you do that, you can remain faithful to God. For young men and young women, as you begin life outside your parents' home, develop purpose of heart. Set your heart in the right direction and make the determination that no matter what comes, you're going to do the right thing because ultimately, you're going to have to stand before God and give an account. The young man is safe as long as not only develops purpose in his heart, but as long as he always keeps God in his mind and remembers his Creator in the days of his youth. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1 is a passage I think that probably most of us know fairly well. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, he said, "Also remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them." There's no doubt that the next few years of our young people's life as they go into college are going to be some very busy times. They'll busy themselves, certainly in the making of friends and activity. They'll busy themselves and the studies that they're involved in, and that can be an exhaustive thing. In fact, Solomon later on in this book of Ecclesiastes points out that in making of books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. But I want our young people need to understand that it's much easier for them to begin to study, to remember God and serve God now than it is to rate to later in life. Those are the days that are even more difficult because most people that quit serving the Lord in their young years unfortunately don't return back to God. Most people that make the decision to be faithful to God do so in the days of your youth. We have a Creator. We are made in the image of God. Genesis 1 and 16 and 17 records that story for us. Or 26 and 27. Where God made man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul or a living being. We have a Creator. And as our Creator, we're going to have to give an account to him. And we have a responsibility to the one that created us to fear and to serve him. In every decision that you make, in not only in the next 3 or 4 years or however long you want to go through school, but through the rest of your life, you must always remember that you have a Creator that you're going to have to give an account to. This is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. And it may be that there are times in the next few years that you're faced with temptation. And it may well be that you could enter into that temptation and mom and dad will never know about it. And it may be that in the next few years you could do things and the church may never know about it. The elders may never know. And the preacher wherever you attend may never know. But always remember the fact you have a Creator that always knows. Go in your Bibles back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And let's back up a few verses into chapter 11. I want you to remember what the young man Solomon said. Or what the older man Solomon said to younger people. He said, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes." I think what Solomon is saying, and what he would say to young people that are going off to college, is enjoy it. Have fun. Enjoy this period and time in your life. But recognize that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. In the decisions that you make, you must always keep in mind there's a judgment day coming. And also remember the next verse says, and I think what that verse is emphasizing is this point. That is that ultimately, whatever you do when you're young, you've got to live with when you get old. Remember, remove vexation from your heart. Put away pain or evil from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. It may have seemed like a long time has passed to get to where you are now to be going off to college. Sometimes it seems that time approaches, time is moving very slowly. And I think what Solomon is telling young people here is the next thing you know, you're going to turn around and college is going to be gone and you're going to have grown children that are going off to college itself, and you've got to live with, when you get old, what you do when you're young. Always remember God in every decision that you make. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth and put your trust in Him. Put your trust in God that serving Him always is the best thing to do. And it always has its reward. Look at Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 10. Proverbs the 18th chapter and in verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is saved. The picture here is that of a tower. You can picture in the old days a city that's walled and it has in that a tower to protect it. But what he's pointing out in that passage, you can always turn to God. You can always turn to Him and put your trust in Him and be safe as long as you're serving the Lord. And to our young people, and I fully expect this, by the way, remember to be faithful in worship. How many times has the congregation here seen some young person that shows up a time or two when they begin college in Jonesboro and then pretty soon they fall away? They quit attending. They quit associating with brethren that are there to encourage them. Remember when you go off, John 4 and verse 24, to be faithful in your worship to God. Be there every time the doors are open to study God's Word with faithful Christians. You'll be saved as long as you remember your Creator and develop purpose of heart and take heed to the Word of God. Solomon, or David, or whoever the writer of Psalms 119 is, it's actually an anonymous psalm. Many believe David wrote it. It's the great chapter on the Word of God. And this question was raised in that chapter: how can a young man keep his way pure? And the answer that comes back is by guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. One thing you have to remember is that God has given us a powerful weapon to help keep us on the right way. Let me just say this to young people that are trying to serve God. That is, the devil's out to get you. And the devil's out to get every one of us. The Bible teaches that. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour." And the devil will try in the years that you're in school, he will do everything he can to use others to try to lead you away from the Lord and try to capture you, try to be taken captive by him, a figure used in 2 Timothy chapter 2. But God has given us a powerful weapon that serves as a guard or a hedge around it, and that weapon that he's given us is his word. And what the psalmist says in Psalms 119 is, if you'll just take this word and hold your mind to it and plant it in your heart and store it there, you can keep yourself on the narrow way. I don't care what the temptation is that may come. I don't even have any idea what temptations you may face. It may be that you're faced with a temptation for sexual immorality, or the temptation to drink, or the temptation to forsake this. It really doesn't matter what temptation it is. If you're holding your minds to God's Word, and you've got that Word stored in your hearts and in your minds, what the psalmist says is it'll keep you on the right way. You've heard me tell the story before. It's supposedly a true story of a young boy that got ready to go off to college. And his mother gave him a present as he was walking out the door. And as he opened it up, he found within it a little Bible. And in that Bible, she had written this note. She said, "This little book will keep you from sin, and nothing but sin will keep you from this book. This book will be the key that you need to remain faithful to God, not just in the next 4 years or 6 years or however again long you're going to determine to stay in school, but throughout the rest of your life. This book is going to be the key to keeping you on the narrow way." In Matthew chapter 4, in verses 1 through verse 11, Jesus was faced with temptation. And Jesus, every time that he was faced with temptation, came back by saying, "It's written. This is what God's Word says. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And so we need to hold our mind. One thing I want you to determine, do we talk about purpose of heart? I want you to determine that no matter what comes, you're going to find time to study God's Word. You need to make that a priority. Yes, you're going to have math, and you're going to have science, and you're going to have all kinds of things that are going to call for your time, but you need to make it a priority above everything else that the one thing you're going to study every single day is God's Word. And if you take that Word and you store it in your hearts, listen, "Thy Word have I hidden," or "have I stored in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against Thee." When you're faced with difficult decisions, Psalms 119 and verse 105, Psalms 119 and verse 105, the psalmist said in that chapter that it illuminates your path. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Here in a world of darkness, this word will guide you in the right way. You need to spend time, as we said, studying God's Word every day. And I want you to also remember this. We talk about what you do at school. But whether we're talking about school or whether we're talking in our worship to God, I want you to remember this. Always examine everything that somebody says by God's Word. God's Word is always right. I don't care whether you're going to Faithful or whether you're going to Florida College and Temple Terrace. Everything that you hear needs to be filtered through the pages of God's Word. God's Word is always right. And anytime something differs from God's Word, it's wrong. Regardless of who it is that teaches that, don't ever take anybody's word for anything. Compare everything back to the Word of God. And if you do that, you'll be safe. Is the young man safe? Well, the young man will be safe if he honors and obeys his parents. Absalom's downfall was brought about by his wayward attitude toward his father. I mean, if there are a number of precipitating events, I know, that led to that. David, by the way, had made some mistakes as a father. David had not dealt with the rape of Absalom's sister Tamar in the way that he should have dealt with it. And I think that sort of precipitated, I know it led to the death of Amnon. I think some of the hard feelings that Absalom had toward David. But there was no excuse for the lack of honor and respect that Absalom had for his father. He should have held him in respect. And for our young people that are going off, while you begin a new phase in life, while you're not going to be under mom and dad's roof anymore, I want you to understand, first of all, you're still their responsibility. And you still need to listen to them. And they still have more wisdom than what you have in terms of making many decisions in life. And you'll do well to listen and honor and follow their instruction. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 to verse 3, this is what Paul said. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." That's the first commandment the Bible tells us with promise. Under the law of Moses, you may remember that a young man who didn't honor his parents was put to death. And I'll not take time to turn to that passage in Exodus chapter 21, but I want to make this point. That tells me how serious God must have viewed rebellion against parents. That it was something that he said that needs to be removed from society. That needs to be removed so that they're not influencing others to do the same thing. Rebellion against parents can be a very dangerous thing. Sometimes when young people, and again, I'm not expecting our young people to do this. I have confidence that they'll make the right kind of decisions. But sometimes when young people are away and they're on their own, they view that as a time to sort of spread their wings and do things that mom and dad would not approve of, or rebel against the principles that mom and dad had put in place. You may not be here, but I believe the Bible would still tell us that you're still, at this point in time, as you go off to school, their responsibility to be concerned about, and you would do well to listen to their instruction and to honor and to respect what they have to say. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 in verses 1 and verse 2. Proverbs 3 and 1 and 2. Here's something else that we need to keep in mind, and that is, it's a time for you to remember the things they've taught you. How many times does Solomon say throughout the book of Proverbs, "My son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." When you go off to college, you've had Christian parents that have taught you the right things, that have tried to guide you in the right direction. Remember the things they've taught you. Remember the teaching that they've given to you. Solomon told us, and don't forget it. But as you're faced with decision, make your decisions there in light of the principles that you have been taught. You know, Jesus followed that, set that example for us, didn't he? In the book of Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. Luke 2 and verse 51, the Bible tells us about Jesus that he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. But look back at verse 51 prior to that. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them, or obedient to them. Let me ask you a question. If it was important for Jesus to be submissive to his earthly parents, do you think it's important for children today to be submissive to their parents? Now, above all, we must be submissive to God. But your parents have tried to guide you and teach you the right things. Remember the things they've taught you and honor and respect the principles that they put in place. And if you do that, you'll be safe. Is the young man safe? The young woman safe? They are safe when they bear the yoke in their youth. When you learn to work hard in your youth. Look at the book of Lamentations with me. The book of Lamentations is probably a book we don't frequently turned to in our teaching and preaching. It is a book written by the prophet Jeremiah after the destruction of Jerusalem. There are a number of points he makes within the book of Lamentations as to why they had been destroyed and to how they needed to rectify the relationship with the Lord. But I want you to notice a statement he made in Lamentations 3 and verse 27. And he said, "It's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." You know what that just simply means? In other words, it's good for a young man to learn to work and to work hard while he's young. When you go to school, you need to remember the principle to work hard. First of all, there's what you do now is going to have a profound impact upon the rest of your life. Whether you work hard, whether you take advantage of the opportunities that's provided for you. Work hard because, as people say, your parents' money is a terrible thing to waste as you go out. But most of all, because that is what God wants us to do. I think the Bible points out that God expects us to work hard and to work with our hands and to do our very best. In fact, the Bible sets the principle in some passage, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And we need to learn to work that we'll have to give to those that are in the time of need. But you know what another principle is? That the busier you are, the less time you have to deal with temptation. You ever heard the statement that an idle mind is the devil's workshop? In other words, when we're not busy, when we're not working as we need to, I have known some young people, by the way, I've known some very smart young people that ended up flunking out of school because they didn't work hard and all they wanted to do was have fun. and they end up getting themselves into trouble as a result of that. There's a time for fun, by the way. I'm not saying that. Enjoy the time that you have. But remember this, that when your mind is busy, there's less time for temptation. There's less time for the devil to draw us into things and activities that we don't need to be involved in. In the book of Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 3, Nehemiah was told by Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, they wanted him to come down and meet with them on the plains of Ono. They were really trying to undermine the work that he was doing. But you know what Nehemiah said? He said, I'm doing a good work and I can't come down. He was busy doing work, and as a result of that, he couldn't go down and compromise. He couldn't go down and even put his life in danger. You know, the busy youth can always say to the tempter, I'm doing a good work. I cannot come down. I cannot involve in thyself in those things because I am too busy working. In the book of Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5, Proverbs the 10th chapter, and in verse 5, Proverbs 10 and verse 5, he who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. What it's saying now is you got to prepare for the future, don't you? You've got to prepare, and this is a time which you're preparing for the future to help you to be able to provide for a good living and be able to give back to those that to the Lord and to those who are doing God's will. So you'll be safe as long as you bear the yoke and work hard in your youth. The young man will be safe if he chooses good friends. Our young people need to be careful about the kind of friends that they have. Whether we realize it or not, our friends have a profound impact upon us, either for good or for evil. And as we're going off, every one of you is going to make new friends. The friends that you had in high school, some of them may be there. But many of them are going to be, they've gone other places. You're going to have new friends that you're going to make. New associates that you're going to become familiar with. I want to give you this advice. You've heard it before. Your parents have told you this. Be careful in who you choose to be your friends. Because your friends are going to have a profound impact upon you. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, the Bible tells us that evil company corrupts good morals. In the book of Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, Proverbs 13 and verse 20 said, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Wherever you go, find good, faithful Christians and make them your good friends. Now, let me just say, I'm not just simply saying that everybody that claims to be a Christian should be our close friends and people. There are sometimes people that claim to be Christians that can influence us in the right and the wrong way. I'm talking about choosing people that are trying to do what's right. People who are as dedicated to serving the Lord as you are, and you associate with that kind of people. They can be of great strength to you as you face common trials and common temptations. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes says two are better than one. One falls into the ditch by himself. There's nobody there to pick him up. But if you have a friend, then you've got somebody that can pick you up and encourage you. Have a friend that's a faithful Christian that will be a right kind of influence on you. Don't think you can associate with people that are wicked and evil and not be influenced by that. Don't think you can go around with people that drink and other things and you're not going to be influenced by it. Let me tell you a story. I have a young man that worked with me one summer. As far as I know, he's a faithful preacher today. But he told the story about when he was in college. He went to a party, he said, where there was drinking that was taking place. And before he knew it, he said, I had a drink in my hand and I was participating in that. Now, the rest of that story is that was on a Saturday. He said, when Sunday rolled around, he said, I couldn't get to the pew quick enough to make things right and repent. He said, I felt miserable. But it began by going places he shouldn't have been. He'd tell you that. He'd tell you that. If that's the kind of thing that's going on there, friends, you don't need to be there. I don't say that because I don't want you to enjoy your years in college. I say that because I care about your soul and I want you to do what's right. And if you're going to do that, you got to make the right kind of friends and the right kind of associates. Be careful that you don't make too many friends. You know the Bible warns about that. The Bible tells us, Proverbs 18 verse 24, the New King James says, a man with friends must show himself friendly. And that's a true principle. The better translation is a man of too many friends comes to ruin. You look at it in the ESV or the New American Standard Version. And I think that's what it's saying is Somebody that tries to be a friend to everybody ultimately comes to ruin. You need to understand this principle. You can't be everybody's friend. There are going to be people in this world that are not going to appreciate the way that you live and the things that you do. We talked this morning in Bible class about Jesus saying that if you were of the world would like you, but because you're not of the world's not going to appreciate the praise. It's going to hate you, in fact, is what Jesus said. Understand, you can't be everybody's friend. Choose the friends you have carefully. I think one of the points Solomon is making in Proverbs 18 and verse 24 is this. Quality is far more important than quantity. If you only have one friend, but it's a friend that's doing right, consider yourself lucky. You're far better off than having 10 friends that aren't doing the right thing. Choose your friends carefully. Make associates with the right kind of people, and if you do that, then they can influence you in the right way and you'll be safe. Are there young men safe? Our young men are safe if they'll choose to marry the right kind of person. It is true, I think, that probably many of you will choose over the next few years who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Sometimes it seems, I would be surprised if this was a Bible class where I was talking one-on-one to some of our young people, they'd probably say, that's the furthest thing from my mind right now. But it is of that age which, before you know it, you'll find yourself head over heels for somebody and you'll be talking about marriage and making a decision as to who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And the thing you need to understand is just like the choosing of friends must be done carefully, please choose the one you're going to marry carefully. Look at Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 18. The wise man said, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. The only thing I want to emphasize in that passage this morning is not so much the principle in the broader context of adultery, except the fact he refers to the wife of your youth. And what that tells me is most people get married when they're young. Most people choose their companion in the days of their youth. Be careful who you choose. Choose somebody that is going to be a Christian, because this is a lifelong commitment. Let me tell you this. We've got young people that are going off to college. That's an important decision. But you know what? They could get out to Fayetteville or Temple Terrace, or somebody can come to Jonesboro and go to ASU, and they can spend a semester there, and they can say, you know what, I'm absolutely miserable here. I want to come back, and I want to go to school somewhere else. You can do that. If you want to do that, you can do that. But when it comes to marriage, that is a lifelong commitment. There is no going back and saying, you know what, 6 months later, I wish I hadn't made this decision. I think I'm going to go back and make a different one. Jesus said marriage is for life with one exception. And you don't want to go through that one exception, let me tell you. You don't want to ever have to face that exception where your mate has been unfaithful to you and your marriage is in crumbles, because it'll make you absolutely miserable. It'll eat you up. I've seen it. You don't want that one exception. Marriage is for life. And because it's for life, there is one decision, let me tell you, there is absolutely one decision you'll make in this world that's going to be of more consequence and more important than who you marry, and that's the question. That's the decision to serve the Lord. Outside of that, there's no decision that you'll ever make that's more important than the decision of who you marry. They'll influence you. I don't care who you are. You talk to people that have been married here for a long time. Long time's a relative term as well, I guess. You can talk to the Brother Sharp, been married for over 70 years. Or you can talk to others that have been married a long time, and they'll tell you their mates had an influence on them. Maybe they talk different. Maybe they make different decisions. Our mates have an influence on us whether we like it or not. And anybody that tells you different is deceiving themselves. Eve influenced Adam. Ahab was influenced by Jezebel. Solomon, for all his wisdom, was influenced by his wife. I want you to make a decision right now that you're going to marry somebody that has a right to marry, first of all. Let me emphasize that I don't want to get sidetracked on this, but let me make this point to you, young people, and older people too. If they don't have a right to marry, they don't have a right to date. Period. Okay? So if it's somebody that doesn't have a right to marry, they're off limits to begin with. You know, if they don't have a right to marry, they don't have a right to go out on a date with a member of the opposite sex. And that right is reserved for people that have a right to marry. So you just take that off the list to begin with. But you marry somebody who's got a right to marry.
Ideally, I will say this. I hope my children marry somebody that's never been married. But I also understand this. And I'll defend it with absolutely every fiber of my being. That somebody that's been put away, has put away their mate for the cause of fornication, they have a right to marry. As well as somebody whose mate has died. They have a right to remarry as well. Pick someone from among that group that has a right to marry. Be sure they do. Marry somebody that has the same goals and beliefs that you have. And I mean by that, who holds to the same biblical principles that you hold to. Who's trying to get to heaven. Somebody that's going to help you get to heaven. I mean, it is hard enough in this world to try to serve the Lord and be faithful without having a mate that's trying to drag you down. Having a mate that's a discouragement. Marry somebody that's a Christian, that shares the same goals, the same beliefs, the same priorities as you do. And if you do that, both of your lives will be enriched. But if you determine right now, I'll promise you this. There's some promises I can't make, but I'll promise you this. If you don't date somebody that's not a faithful Christian, you'll not marry somebody that's not a faithful Christian. I'll make that promise to you. Amen. If you don't begin by dating them, you just take that off the list and you look for that kind of person. If you date a faithful Christian, you'll marry a faithful Christian. If you date from among people of the world, then that's exactly who you're going to end up marrying. That's always the case. Be careful who you marry. There's nothing I would delight more than to see our young people go out and remain faithful to God and choose a faithful wife and then our faithful husband and then begin to raise up a family that serves the Lord. We need influences for good very badly. But don't destroy your influence on your own by choosing somebody that's not going to be a good influence on you spiritually. And finally, let me say, our young men are safe when they choose to flee youthful lust. But prior to marrying, we must maintain our moral purity. The Bible said to flee also youthful lust. It is a fact, I believe, that there are some lusts that are, maybe I shouldn't say peculiar to youth, that's what the chart says, maybe I should have said are stronger in youth. There may be some temptations that are stronger as we get older than they were when we're younger, but isn't it true that there are some temptations that are stronger when we are younger than they are as we grow older? And we have to understand to flee those youthful lusts, like Joseph in the Bible. We live in a world in which very few people find anything wrong at all with sex outside of marriage. And yet, you're going to be faced with temptations and you're going to have to learn to flee those. Let me say, you flee those in a number of ways. First of all, let me just say this. Set your principles ahead of time. Set principles ahead of time that you're not going to be put in a situation where the temptation is going to arise for you to be guilty of sexual immorality. If you don't put yourself in that situation, then you don't have to worry about entering into it. Secondly, if the temptation arises, get out of there. Remove yourself. There are some temptations, I believe, that it is appropriate to reason with. I do. There may be some temptations that it's appropriate when somebody attempts us to do something to take time and say, listen, let me remind you what God's Word says. Let's discuss that with one another. But fornication ain't one of them. The Bible says to flee fornication. And like Joseph who dropped his garment and ran, if the temptation is there, just get yourself away. Flee youthful lust by watching what you put into your mind. Watch the kind of things that you watch at the movies. You may not need mom and dad's permission to go see things anymore. You may not be that under 17 that's restricted. But those principles are still restricted by God's Word. Be careful what you put into your minds. If you feel your mind's full of filth and immorality, don't be surprised if that spills over into the conduct that you have. Flee youthful lust by watching what you put into your minds, by watching what you look at on the computer. Put a filter on there. Why? Because it's dangerous. That's why. It's not that I don't trust you. I don't trust the devil. I've got one on mine to take that, it just take it out of the way. If something happens, if I was to look at something that's not appropriate, Dawn would get an email and say that this is where it be. Why? It's not that I don't trust myself, but I just take it off the table. Remove it there. There's some accountability that's there. That's part of fleeing youthful lust. Lust can be a strong thing. And too many people have gone down the path who thought they could resist it that couldn't. Just avoid it. And if you do that, you'll be saved.
Parents, no doubt, are concerned about their children. I would be as a parent and will be as my children make that decision. I'd be less than honest enough I say if I don't have concern for young people as they leave and their spiritual safety. Because I want everybody here to be faithful to God, to serve the Lord faithfully. Because as much as I enjoy seeing people here, the thing I want more than anything is for us to be in heaven together forever. But that means making the right decisions and determining to be safe as you leave here. And you begin to mature and have to make decisions on your own. Would you resolve and purpose in your heart to do that? That you might be the kind of people that God's church needs and the kind of people that will be in heaven someday. Get your son book out. We're going to stand in just a moment. We're going to sing the invitation song that was announced. As we do, that will be the proper time for one that needs to respond in obedience to the gospel. If you're not a Christian, then you're not saved. If you're not a Christian, then you're not ready to meet the Lord. And so you need to begin by becoming a Christian even this very morning. Believing on the Lord, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus, and be buried in the waters of baptism. And when you do that, you become a child of God. Then follow the principles that we've talked about this morning. And if you do that, you can be saved. And heaven can be your home. Or maybe there's somebody that's obeyed the gospel, that's wandered away, and needs to come back. No matter what your need is, take advantage of the opportunity. Respond right now together. We stand and we sing.